Hello.
That's friend.
That's passenger we see up at this new year. Can you hear? Can you hear?
Hello. Hello.
You say hello into the mic.
Hello.
What's your name?
Sunny.
You give thumbs up? You blow a wee kiss?
Bye, little man. Bye. Beautiful.
He likes
boy.
You. He says he likes me. He likes me.
Oh, sweetheart. That is one cute kid, man. Gee whiz.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
He's the spitting image of his mummy, actually. And the new wee boy, Saul, just looks like me. He's so
got
Sonny's
the mustache,
dark hair,
he's got
dark
the hat.
Yeah.
Came out with the whole foive. Hands look.
I'm just thinking, like, in a couple of years, they can go to Halloween parties dressed as, like, me and Marie.
Amazing. Amazing.
He was 3 in St. Patrick's Day, and of a new boy now, Saul, he's 7
wow.
weeks old.
You're a potent man, boy. A prolific and a potent individual.
A man without a television is what I am.
Well, congrats, man. That sounds marvellous.
Hey, thank you very... Hey, thank you. Yeah, do you know what? It is. It is. I think we're in the trenches. As a friend of mine, Natalie Banks, she calls this the trenches, you know, when you're in the, like, the first 3 months, you know.
I can
It's
well
called
imagine.
The fourth trimester as well, I think, because the baby still isn't sure, like, it's, you know, hang on, am I not part of you anymore or what? So
yeah,
it's just it's a weird time.
After you've had a couple, do you sort of, you know what to expect? Do you relax a little bit with it? Like, is it any easier
just start listening to House of Pain on repeat.
On repeat, just in your head.
No. Yeah, it just keeps, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's the sleep deprived psychosis that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
It does.
Brilliant, man.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what's funny? When I'm talking to friends that don't have kids and they're going, oh, I think I'd really like them. I always say, look, they are incredible. They are incredible. My kids are incredible and I wouldn't change what I have for the world. Not love nor money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when I'm talking to people that don't have kids, I'm thinking, you know what is also nice? Holidays.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sunday papers and Sunday Lions.
Yeah, I was going to say Lions, yeah.
Yeah, you know, on a Sunday, if it's sunny, a wee 2 p.m. joint and a gin and tonic in the lawn, you know.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about anything.
About sharing it with your kids.
Yeah, exactly. I know it sounds very selfish, doesn't it? But listen, I wouldn't do that. But when I'm speaking to people that don't have kids, I say, think wisely. It is very rewarding. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I'm not going to rely. Yeah. All the parents watching this will be going, fuck's sake, Foy, come on.
Come on.
It's great, but don't have them. If I was you, I would not have kids. I would be traveling the world and be having the time of my life.
Yeah, not much of that going on at the moment. I've got to be honest.
There are reasons for that.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of sometimes feels like it was always like this. Like, I watched a replay of a football match with a crowd in the other day, and it felt bizarre. Like, I was like, what are they all doing?
That's never going to work.
Yeah. Get out of there, guys! Fuck, it's really weird. Are we all right to swear on this, by the way?
Oh, you can say whatever you like. Yeah, absolutely,
fine,
yeah.
Fine,
absolutely.
Fine.
And are you still writing? Like, you find that you're still able to write in lockdown? A lot of people have found it like they kind of just, got... stunted, you know.
You know what? I had a real purple patch. I just turned to it. I turned to writing, as I have done in the past when I've had difficult times. And I find it goes one way or the other. I write nothing at all. Like, I can't pick up a guitar. I'm kind of repulsed by it, or I'm attached to it. And it just so happened that it was the latter this time. And
mate, well, that's good
I actually,
hear.
Yeah, I wrote 7 songs and I recorded them all, and I just literally just released an album called Patchwork with these lockdown songs on. So it's been such a surreal process doing everything so quickly, you know, from writing to recording to releasing all within 3 or 4 months. And it's been good, man, because all the proceeds are going to the Trussell Trust, which is a food bank organization. So, man, it's just really helped me feel like I've made a famously unproductive time productive. It's felt really good to have come out of lockdown with something creative and something that I can kind of put into the world in a positive way. Yeah, it's been a real blessing, actually. Have you been sort of been writing a lot, or has it been sort of not much?
Well, this is the I've been fine. The flow kind of continued. I was working on a couple of albums for other folks that, you know, which I've sort of just kept on with that. And if anything, London became sort of perfect for a while because I couldn't go in and out in the train, so I would drive in and the roads were empty. It was like driving through 28 Days Later or something, you know what I mean?
It was
fucking surreal, especially the night drive home. So if anything, my productivity really went up.
Yeah.
The first couple of weeks, and then I sort of cleared the decks of a few things and started to look at the news, which was a big mistake, you know what I mean?
Such a big mistake. Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like a really fine line, doesn't it, between remaining like informed and up to date and like being engaged with what's going on, but also not just sitting in front of Sky News for 4 hours like eating oven chips out of the bag and crying. Like,
do you know what, my worry was that there were so many people doing that, you know, that this is what I said when it all sort of kicked off. I said, you know what, it's not corona that worries me, it's society.
Yeah, it's the reaction of it. Yeah,
it's the way these folks are reacting. It's freaking me the fuck out, because, you know, and especially in a city where, you know, tensions can get high, you know, and we're hitting summer here. Yep. It's going to get hot. People are locked in fucking one bed apartments sometimes with a handful of kids, can't get out, you know. I was just allowing my mind to go with all that shit, you know. I was thinking, I'm not going to be able to get out of London shortly. They're going to be covering the motorways and burning sofas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This place is going to be proper lockdown. So, I'm sure that's over the top. That's a wee fucking, you know, a wee seaside Irish boy, you know, fucking... letting his imagination run wild with city life. But I mean, it freaked me out for a bit until I just stopped looking at the news, you know.
Yeah.
Weird fucking times. Yeah. Definitely a very weird time to be calling you to talk about what you would have for a starter, a main, and a dessert as your last meal.
Yeah, well, it might be coming up. So, you know, it's good to get this stuff actually ordered, you know.
I've said an asteroid every week. What other way? I don't know. Like, let's say a planet just suddenly fucking Jupiter decides to go right out of orbit. No one knows why. It just comes right out and smashes into us.
Yeah.
But we know what's going to happen, so we can plan for it. And what we do is we sit down and we have our favorite dinner.
Dinner and music. Yeah.
Hi.
I'm thinking like I want something light because I don't want to feel sort of heavy as the end comes.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I'm going to be like, this is it.
Hit Jupiter a punch as it comes in.
Come at me.
Fuck you, Jupiter.
Yeah, I've just had a green smoothie. I'm fucking up for this. I would not have a green smoothie. I think that would be the last thing on my list.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there's going to be one swift winner in that in that tangle. Seen these guys? Yeah. Not sure I can take on the biggest planet in the solar system, but we'll see. Let's see. Are you still eating meat and fish and doing all of that stuff, or are you veggie now, or are you?
I eat mostly veggie, but I still eat meat. Yeah, I eat meat.
Yeah, you know. See, I am the same. I went full veggie for like 5 months last year, and it coincided horribly with a tour of South America and Eastern Europe. And like, they're the two places you just don't want to go to as a vegetarian, as a new vegetarian. I'm sure if you've been doing it for years, then it's absolutely no problem.
You know exactly what to do, of course. But
you're in Argentina and they're, you know, bringing out the Malbec and the steak, and you're like, actually, I'll just have the fuck my life. Thanks. Cheers.
Yeah. Fuck my life mushrooms.
Yeah. How do you feel about oysters?
I love that you're involved in this. So are we going to share this?
I think so. I feel like we're sort of like Jupiter's coming. We were hanging out. It turns out it's just me and you. Let's get the dinner on.
I'm in. We haven't done this any week. I've always, this would be good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, oysters. Definitely. I've had oysters before here. In fact, Anderson East had oysters on a Big Mac.
Wow. I mean, fuck it. I mean, there's no rules at this point. So. I'll say, listen, this has sort of gone, this has taken a romantic turn. Suddenly it's me and you, it's the end of the world, and I'm suggesting oysters.
Oysters, straight away oysters. I know your fucking game plan.
Well, you're an attractive man, boy. You're an attractive man. 5 ants for dessert. This has got silly all of a sudden, hasn't it? I feel like oysters are like no other food in the world. I feel like that it's almost like a cross between a food and drugs. When you have a really good oyster, it almost feels like you're on drugs because it's so good.
Especially if you use a lot of Tabasco. Do you use Tabasco?
Especially if you put a lot of cocaine on it. It's
a lot of cocaine really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I just feel like they're an extraordinary little explosion of deliciousness.
Listen, I'm in on the oysters and definitely Tabasco, but listen, we have to have Guinness with that. You ever had Guinness and oysters?
No, but I love both of them. And this makes more sense to me than a Big Mac with oysters.
Yeah.
I can totally get the Guinness and oysters thing. You don't drop the oyster in it or anything, do you?
Well, listen, you can do what you like. It's the end of the world. You can, you know.
Yeah.
We can tip anything you like in there.
Yeah, true. All right, Guinness and oysters. Why not? In this magical end of the world moment, this is a Guinness from one of those pubs you can only find in Ireland, where they've just kind of kept it up there since sort of 1781, like half poured, and then they just top it up for you, and it's a life-changing moment. I want one of those Guinnesses, not one of those shit Guinnesses you get in London. Like a proper Irish Guinness.
Filty's Bar and Bangor Guinness, or a Nancy's in Ardra, that's a good Guinness too.
I'm gonna leave it to you to supply the Guinness. I feel like you have the accent to turn up with a Guinness. Yeah.
All right.
I certainly don't. Ooh, is that Guinness? Marvellous.
Is that like Murphy's?
Yeah, exactly. I actually prefer a Heineken or, you know, like a some sort of light lager.
Right, I'll bring the Guinness. We can share the dinner, right? But we need to pick a song each. What about that?
Yeah, I love that.
This is one of the best songs I've heard in a long time and hardly anyone's heard it. It's called Until the Lights Dim by Peter J. McCauley.
I've not heard that song.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't have, you know, it's at 1,000 plays or like 1,200 plays on Spotify type thing. But it's an incredible song. Just incredible. Really? So I'd introduce you to that.
The first one that always comes to my mind is Simon and Garfunkel live in Central Park. Like, it's this like reunion. Have you heard that record?
Yes, of course, yes.
Yeah. And it's like, they haven't spoken to each other for like 50 years or something, and they get together and do this like fucking gigantic like free gig in Central Park. And it's just all of their best songs. Killer band. And it's just so fucking vibey. You can feel like 80s New York in the background and like people just getting smashed in the crowd. It's this free gig. Mm. Simon and Garfunkel together for the first time in years. And it's the record that we used to play in the car religiously whenever I went anywhere with my family. So it feels like my whole childhood was set to that album. So if we're talking starters, I feel like there's a correlation here. That record started my love affair with music, I think. I remember sitting in the back seat of the car listening to that album and it washing over me and it feeling like magic. It feeling like something otherworldly and something I didn't understand and something I deeply wanted to be a part of, you know? Like way before you make a record or way before you start writing music, and the way music hits you as a kid, and it's like magic. I think that's the word for it. And that's how I always feel about that record, yeah.
Mm. It's, you know what, don't you find, it's not hard to keep that, but it takes work to keep that spark.
It's
because
so
much of this business kind of, you know, you take on other elements of it because you're trying to learn a bit about your career, and you know, because no one else is going to take as much interest as you are, right? You gotta get hands on as you have done, and when you do that, you sort of, you learn a lot about a lot of the other tributaries into this big river, don't you? And it can detract for a lot of people. I think a lot of people find it hard to disengage with. Okay, industry is off now. There is no industry. You know, I always feel like that. I'm not in the music industry. Never have been. I'm in music. Well, as soon as you peek behind the curtain, right?
Yeah.
The second you get that first peek behind the curtain, you see the machinery of it, you see the cogs of it. It's like, oh, wow, this is a cheap. I could do that, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, bits of, I could, you know, you go in and you learn. And then, like you say, it's that magic then.
It's almost like you get caught.
too caught up in that, you can just lose the fucking what you got involved in this in the first place for. Hey, people are chasing mate. Numbers, chasing fucking money, chasing hit, you know, it's like, what?
I've been really guilty of that a few times, and I look back on it with such annoyance. You know, you like you write a big song, or you write a song that you're like, fuck, that's got something, and then you're seduced by the idea, or like I've been seduced by the idea. I had a song called Hell or High Water a few years ago, and I was like, when I wrote it, I was like, that's a banger. Like that's Let Her Go too. Like that's it. And like we produced it in a way where it's like really sort of like Bon Jovi sort of like FM rock vibes, and like the video is really cool. Actually, we did it out in the States.
I've never seen the video. I must watch the video.
It's cool, man. It's really nice. Like, you know, wild horses running around and like, you know, like Utah, and it was all very sort of like epic. And
mate, are you doing really, are you doing some of this?
Oh, I'm doing so much of that. I'm doing a lot of this.
Just sort of silently
contemplating my existence. Happened just to be sitting in Utah. God, I'm always here. Fuck off. I'm just here. I'm, you know, it's a coincidence, if anything. What then? Yeah. Wild horses running? Sure. Always. The video is actually beautiful. I'm really proud of it. And I'm proud of the song. But I just think, like, that's an example of when I've really chased that thing of, like, this could do really well. Let's make it sound like something Radio 2 will play. And then lo and behold, Radio 2 are like, nah, you're all right. And then you sort of realise, like, why did I do that? Why didn't I just, like, make this song what it should have been? And I don't mean to pick on that song, because I think it sounds great and I'm happy with it. But it's just, like, it's so
you're
easy
to...
Yeah, but it's so easy to kind of... Especially, man, especially since Let Her Go. I think once that kind of... The cat was out of the bag a little bit. It was like, fuck, I can do this. I've got it in me to make these, like, whopping great hits. Then, of course, at some point, when you write a song where you're like, yeah, that could do it, you're like, you go down that rabbit hole. You're intrigued to try and do it again, you know?
I'll take your word for it.
I'll
take your word for it.
On my playlist, and seriously, I'm not just blowing smoke here. Like,
I'm a hitting your iTunes, am I?
Fucking hell, you open up my playlist. Two of your songs. She is a little explosion of hope. Oh my God, that song is perfection, man. That production's insane. I love that song. It means
you know what? That was a real fucker to get. Do you ever get this? So that record. See what most of that recording is. Is me sitting in my kitchen, which was just a house about 400 yards up that way, in front of a little MacBook Air, and yeah. had my headphones in. All the reverb, all the vocal reverbs
really?
are coming from that. And we tried to replicate that in Blackbird.
Yeah.
Couldn't get anywhere near. Went into Hammy studio, couldn't do... We took elements from various places, but we ended up... The vocal is from my fucking table. You know, it's from reverbs, all the reverbs, all the bass line... It's all from the demo.
But that's kind of what I'm saying, right? That's kind of what I'm saying with this Hell or High Water thing. It's
overworking.
That's the mate, you found the magic at your kitchen table. That's the magic. And you don't actually have to... But something in your brain is like, yeah, but I have to go and do it in Nashville. I have to go and do it in this beautiful studio. And it will be 1,000 times better. Actually, it won't. Actually, you just captured something right there and then. And I think that's the magic we're talking about. When you listen to a record as an 8-year-old, you're like... You don't give a fuck where it was recorded or where it came up. It just hits you. I feel like there's always been two sides of my music. Like there's this very introspective, finger-picked, folky, like direct thing over here, and then there is this sort of bigger. I love it too. Yeah. But there's also this like bigger poppy thing. So I've always been sort of like caught between the two, and obviously there's more, you know, commercial possibility over here. But really, my heart is with these little kind of. Pockets, these little magical vignette moments, you know. So I don't know, over the years I've found a way of doing it. It's like, you know, nowadays I'll tend to release a big record with 10 or 11 like big songs where I've got the full band, and it's like, yeah, fuck it, let's go to radio, let's do all that stuff. And then recently, you know, I did a string quartet album last year, which is, you know, 10 or 11 of these little songs that don't have to, you know, set the world alight, but they're, it doesn't mean they're any less important. And so I'm kind of alternating between like the big album and then I'll go off and do something smaller as well. And it's a really nice home for both of them. And it's a nice way of kind of keeping my sort of bipolar musical character in check.
That's interesting you say that, man. If you don't mind me picking on that a second. Not picking Please. On it as in like picking on it. Like
yeah.
Picking it apart a little bit. Because I remember feeling that one of the conversations we had in New Zealand was about, I was kind of just commending you, I think, on what you'd done. Because, you know, when I first met you, we were on tour with Ed and in the UK. And he was playing, what, like sort of 3,000-seater venues. But you had a fucking mission. You were on a mission. Ed was inspiring enough. Like, it was inspiring to watch him and watch his mission and watch what he was doing and watch where he was going and him tell me where he's going and then I'm go there and then go to the next bit. You know, and you were doing the same. You were doing the same, man, in the background. I'll never forget it. Every night, you know, when I get off stage and just be, you know, hanging out with Ella or whatever and you be in chatting to folks on Facebook every single night, you know, just kind of sell. But then...
Yeah.
But then I also could see this other side of you that was like, I just want to sit in the corner and sing this and nobody really noticed me, but I kind of have to do this to make it all.
Yeah.
I could see it. I could see you kind of struggling with it, going like, this But you did it, man. Do you not, I mean, you must feel fucking proud of what you've done. You must feel proud that this has all been off your own back, pretty much. You know what I mean? This has been you. You've built this. Where you are now is where you got you. You know,
thanks,
that's
man.
That's something.
Thank you, mate. It means an awful lot coming from you, and I would say the same for you as well, man. And I think
I'd rather be where you are. No kids, fucking ton of money in the bank. I'd be fucking getting a private jet to Venezuela immediately.
Venezuela, that's an interesting choice.
I don't know, it was the first one that came to me.
I wouldn't crack this right now.
I don't even want, let's not unpack that one.
Mate, you know, it's funny, some days I really feel that. Some days I really kind of have those moments of like, of realisation, where it's like, you know, something will kind of really truly remind me of you know, life 10 years ago and what my aspirations were or what my dreams were or whatever. Like, I drove around my old neighborhood the other day, like where I grew up, and all of these memories just came flooding back to me. And it's moments like that I find that I can then find perspective. I can then be like, wow, so much has happened. And yes, I am proud. I'm proud of how hard I worked and, you know, the songs I've written and the gigs I've played and everything that I've done from that point to this. I really am proud, yeah. But you know what it's like, man? Other days, you can't see the wood from the trees. I think as human beings, we adapt to our surroundings and our environment so quickly.
So quickly.
It's grim, actually. It's like, it's really upsetting when you realise you're doing that. Like, you know, like, yeah, I am a bit more financially comfortable and this and that and the other. And like, I try my absolute hardest to remember that as much as I possibly can. It's so important to keep that shit in check. How do you feel about that? Do you find it easy to sort of be like, yeah, you know what, that I love that record, or I'm so proud of this and I'm so proud of that? Like, do you own it easily?
No, not really. And also, yeah, not in the same way. But listen, when we were on that tour, it identified certain things to me. That ability to go out and sell it like that, the way you did, which I admired wholeheartedly, was lost on me at that stage. I just didn't. Maybe I just lacked the confidence at that moment in time, or whatever it was. But it felt like a. It felt like a good realization somehow. It felt like, like a waking up.
I feel like the shackles of sort of the environmental decision making are off for this meal because Jupiter's fucking on its way.
You want to eat a koala burger?
Well, the fact that, you know,
a koala burger.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that it's all sort of going to shit anyway, like, I feel all right about eating a really, really good fillet steak, just because in the same way that oysters, you shouldn't have it every day, but every now and again, like, I'm talking like every 3 months, to have like the finest fillet steak you can find, medium rare, bit of peppercorn sauce, duck fat chips, and like
duck fat chips, come on, man.
And listen, then some sort of side salad. Side salad just for like politeness. But fuck it, it's the end of the world. I don't want a salad. I don't want it.
No, I don't want it. Let's have
candy.
What about some jalapeno poppers?
There you go. Fine. I'm down.
Like some kind of deep fried jalapeno poppers filled with like cheese, filthy mozzarella and feta or something. You know?
Wow, that's left field. Yeah, all right. Whack right? them on the side. Yeah. But also like some like horrifyingly like heavy French red to wash it down with as well. Like,
okay,
it's the end of the fucking world. Like, I think this is the last dinner I'd want. Oysters followed by fillet steak with red wine.
The only thing is, the first song that comes to my mind is another Paul Simon one, and I don't mind going Paul Simon all night, to be quite honest, but
it's Paul Simon heavy, but I'm always happy with that. What song were you thinking?
Just Still Crazy After All These Years.
Mm. Just with the red wine.
Do you know what I'm saying? Just sitting.
Yeah. So true. I had Van Morrison in mind. I wanted to listen to some like classic. But it's definitely that kind of evening, isn't it? It's like, it's give me classic, great food and my favourite music of all time. I've always loved, and it stoned me. I love that song. I love the story.
I have a soft spot for that too.
I love the sort of innocence of that song, you know, and just the story of that day of them like dicking about, fucking around,
jumping in the water.
And it's just like, and his voice, the brass section, it's fucking untouchable. It's untouchable. So that's what I'm going to bring to our,
that was a real period. That was a real period for Van, wasn't it? Hell yeah, I'll listen to that. Still Crazy After All These Years, followed by Alice Stanley. I'm in.
Can we actually do this, even if Jupiter isn't coming?
Yeah, maybe we should do this. Like when we're allowed to be together. We'll do another podcast.
When the world will accept that.
Yeah, and we'll have this meal and we'll listen to the songs.
We should do covers of these songs.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be better for everyone if we just played them.
I really regretted coming up with that idea. Like, I got carried away at the moment, and then I was like, my cover of that song is going to be a shadow of Van's. Oh, you know, you could do stand-up. If music doesn't work out, you can do stand-up comedy. No, you fucking can't. Like, it's a big difference between, like, telling a couple of jokes between songs. Like, I know the songs I'm going to be playing. I'm prepared. I go out with the guitar. I'm good. And then, like, if I'm funny, it's a bonus. Yeah. You go out with a fucking microphone and you're out there for an hour trying to make people laugh. Jesus Christ. Like, I can't imagine anything more terrifying. I have so much respect for those dudes.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. And I think it's probably through, you know, doing our little version of stand-up routines. Yeah. You know what I mean? When you're on stage, but it's so easy because it's your own gig. It's like your fucking wedding day. You know what I mean? You don't really need to do too much to make them laugh, really, you know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, the spots where, you know, the spots after the song, people maybe need a bit of a laugh here because it's pretty fucking heavy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it all sort of happens and evolves naturally. Like you say, walking up there to be funny with no song to rely on is a different kettle of fish. I always, when people say, oh, you're very funny, you know, you could be a stand-up comedian. I'm like, no, you don't understand what you're saying. You don't understand what you're saying.
Being funny professionally, fuck me. What do you do? I'm funny.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be fucking funny to do that for a job. Like, that's insane. I'm so funny, I do it for a living.
I know.
That's amazing.
That's me.
Know, what yeah. what pisses me off though no. about that on the same, I've had a couple of times where like after the gig and I'll come off and it's like, fuck, that was a great gig. I was really buzzing. And then you get that person who's like, I came to see you 2 years ago and your jokes were like basically the same. And I get so angry with that because it's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, I good, never fucking good. Told you that it was going to be funny. Like, this is a bonus. Yeah. Like, the fact that I'm trying to make an effort yeah. between songs, like you go to a lot of gigs and it's fair enough. Like, people just play their songs. Thanks very much. On to the next one. There's no stories. There's no anecdotes. There's no how you're doing.
I'm fair and it's play fine. To them too,
and,
right?
And yeah. they, of course, fair play to yeah. them. But what I get upset about is then when you've tried to make the effort. And I do make a lot of effort, and I really, and I know you do too. And then you get that sort of like, you didn't come up with a new stand-up comedy routine for me. So I never fucking said I would. These are all the same jokes I've been telling them for 6 years, yeah. and they weren't funny in the fucking first place. So. Enjoy. I don't know. It bugs me. It's happened a few times. I'm just like, man, come on. Mm. I'm trying out here.
I had some proper like hate mail, not hate mail like Twitter hate from the first couple of head shows. I think it might even have been the Birmingham show. Actually, there was one guy. I mean, it was like it's what it always is. A handful of people, like you know, but yeah. there was this one guy. Do you know what? I wish I knew how to work Twitter properly. I would dig it out.
You'd find it.
It was just so. It was so vehement. You know, it was like.
What was the matter? What was his?
I don't know. It was like, you? I think it was just that. Well, he wanted to see Ed, and I don't know. I didn't sound like Ed or sing any Ed songs. So what the fuck was I doing there? You know what I mean? I can't remember what.
Had he been to a concert before? Did he understand the concept? Of
I doubt it.
Ads?
I doubt it.
Because Ed doesn't just come on three times. Like,
I know.
Someone should. Have
but
told
I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing that was his thing. I don't know what this fucking thing was, but it was like, wow. It was like I'd proper attacked the guy, you know?
Did you? Good for you.
I remember just thinking, what in the name of fuck? Oh, I sang you a couple of songs. Maybe if you don't like them, you don't have to like them. What are we going to have for dessert, sweetheart?
Well, I'm going to say that there's going to be a cheese board involved. And I'm not ruling out dessert first.
I've had two cheese boards. Cheese boards already for my last meal. Okay. So you're already in. And fine fettle with me.
So on the cheese, I mean, like, I'd hope we'd still have a bit of that Bordeaux left.
Hell, we got tons of that.
Yeah, we've got a case of cases. It. Cases. We need it. Yeah.
And we straws. Have.
Yeah. I've got one of those hats that you can put two bottles in and just a straw in like that. yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
So, on the cheese boards, again, nothing extraordinary. I'd like something a bit stinky, sort of blue cheese vibe. I'd like a soft sort of camembert type device, and I'd also like a muscular cheddar, and I'd be really happy with those three as a combo.
I'm gonna have to add to that if it's the end of the world. I'm gonna have to have Port Salut on there, you know. Port Salut.
Fine, pop it on.
We're gonna have that on there. We need to have a bit of applewood smoked, just because it's, yeah, I know it's chabby, but fuck it, it's great.
No,
it's delicious,
mate. You pop it on. This is our cheese board for you. There's no
rules. And I'm a chav, so what do? You know what I mean? And we're gonna have that on there. What else are we gonna have on there? We have some chutneys, like some kind of spicy chutneys. I like spice all the time. We need spice all the time, like some kind of chili, tomato chili chutney.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
and I'd like a very. I'm surprising myself with my sort of traditional tastes here, but I'd like a little red onion. Chutney vibe as well, a little like I think the chutneys are a bit like the wine. It's like that they sort of come as standard, like it's a world of chutney.
Okay, we can have whatever chutney we like.
Yeah, it's all there.
Being that you looked at your watch there and said 45 minutes, Jupiter's coming in 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I believe the first song, the first part on I think last week I chose a song by Keith Jarrett, and this week I'm going to choose another one by Keith Jarrett. But this is part one from Live in Cologne. It's 45 minutes long.
Okay.
So you Fine. Better you better have a song. You can play your song quickly first. Make it a short one.
Okay.
Because Jim,
get it in there.
Keith, fine.
I feel like that last 45 minutes would be a fairly frantic affair. You know, whatever we're listening to at that stage, it's just like, here we are, the abyss.
Yeah.
The final countdown.
Well, that's why I'd want to listen.
I'm going to play the final countdown by Europe.
Followed by Keith Jarrett. I love it. I love it. I'm in. Cheeseboard, creme brulee, wine.
Are you sure we... Do we have the final countdown right at the end? Just as Jupiter's sort of... Just as the fiery sort of ball is coming towards
us. Yeah,
I feel
like You're in.
That's the moment to just be like... And at that stage, it's like shots and coke and a bit of heroin. and the final countdown. In fact, yeah, maybe okay. I'm gonna take heroin... just after the cheese board, just so I've got like 45 minutes for it to kick in, and just as it's sort of like, just as it's happening, I'm like, I really don't care. This is the best night of my life.
So you already feel like gas, you know? You go, that's fine.
Exactly. I think what I'm trying to get at is like, it's just anything, any kind of debauchery I can offer myself at that stage of proceedings or words.
Well, listen, let's see how much time we have left after all this music.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You know. And also...
We'll be hammered and high as fuck. Who knows what'll happen?
We've had the oysters, so... yeah. Yeah, let the good times roll briefly before death.
Yeah. Oh, Mike. It's fucking great to see you, man. It's so
Mate,
good to see
likewise.
You.
Likewise. It's been
I really appreciate you taking the time.